Today we are going to continue in the fruits of apostasy number 2. But let's ask the Lord to go before us and bless His word. Our glorious Heavenly Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that You would anoint Your word today and bless Your word, Lord. And the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, will be upon us, Lord. And loosen my tongue to preach nothing but the truth, Lord. And we pray, Lord God Almighty, that You would send the treasures from heaven, Lord, that we will be able to adore You and that we will be able to love You from the bottom of our hearts for what You have done on the cross and sending Your only begotten Son. And if not for Jesus, we wouldn't even know who You are, Lord, and that we were enemies of God. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world, and He was in the bosom of the Father, and He was able to show who the Father is to us. Oh Father, we praise You, we thank You, Lord, for causing the enemies of God, who we were, Lord. We were under the wrath of God, but now we are called the children of God. We are adopted by You, Lord. Praise You. We thank You, Lord, for all what You have done. And we want to thank You, Lord, that what You are going to do. And so, Lord, what the words of God will become live into us. It become real to us today, Lord. It's not going to be just empty words that we are going to hear today. But it will be words that Your Spirit is going to speak and the words that will become live and real to our lifestyle. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that You would give us the ears to hear what Your Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If I'm going to give a topic today, the topic that I would give is a worldly entertaining church. The worldly entertaining church. And there was a lady in 1834 to 1911. Her name was Arabella Catherine Hankey. She lived in England. While still a teenager, Hankey taught Sunday school for girls in England. Later, she traveled to South Africa to become a nurse and to help, and also to help her invalid brother and to bring him back to England. In her early 30s, Hankey contracted a severe illness. During her protracted recovery, she wrote a long poem about Jesus. It is in two parts, with the first 50 stanzas in length asking about Him and the second answering the question. And it is one of the hymns we sing today, and it is called "I Love to Tell the Story and to Tell Me the Old, Old Story." Both came from her pen. Now, the question I want to ask is today, but where is the old, old story today? Where is the old, old story today? There was an article in Fox News, Wednesday, April 7, 2004. And this is what it said. Evangelism catches up with the times. We take a different approach to the traditional preacher role, said Fireproof Ministries founder Craig Gross, a 28-year-old ordained minister and former youth pastor. We use comedy and video and real-life experiences. It is not just one of us up there with a Bible. And this is what is happening in the world today. And there are Christian websites that you can go to, and they will promote evangelism in a worldly way. And they can help your church to draw a crowd. And here is one website, and it says here, "Events that draw a crowd." Outreach, and I'm going to quote, outreach events provides a top quality Christian performers who will help you draw a crowd to your next church event. Whether it is a Christian comedian, or a Christian speaker, a Christian author, Christian motivational speaker, Christian athlete, Christian celebrity, Christian specialty act, or Christian music act, outreach events can help your church. No wonder there are so many evangelistic crusades today, and in these evangelistic crusades, they have either a celebrity, or an athlete, or somebody who is very famous and popular as a speaker. Why? To draw crowds. So the world will be attracted to a popular person. Attract the world with amusement, with entertainment. And that's what you see. You go to some of the evangelistic crusades today, and they have all this rap music going on. You know? And so why? They want for the world to hear. The world is very familiar with this kind of music, so the world will be attracted. Where is the power of the gospel? They are saying churches are turning to flashier alternatives to revivals. And they seem to be working, they say. Many evangelists and pastors are attracting thousands of people with gospel rap music, drama, and other kinds of entertainment. Now, in your Bible, Apostle Paul said, we saw this last week too, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Itching ears, they will make you laugh, comedians, they will make you excited in your flesh. And also 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4 says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What is it to love God means? You know, a lot of people say, we love God. Everybody says we love God. What is it to love God means? Is it to get emotionally high on Jesus? Emotionally high on your in your spirit? What does the scripture say? The scripture says in John chapter 14 verse 15, if you love me, you keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, you keep my commandments. And Jesus also said in John chapter 14 verse 23, he said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. It is the word of God that is powerful. And we cannot attract people with human manipulations. But remember, I told you what happened. I told you at the very beginning, there was a root of apostasy. And the root of apostasy was what? Getting away from the word of God. And that's what happens. Then what happens? When you get away from the word of God, what you have is your own human wisdom. And people put marketing sales and so forth like that, and they want to use humanism in attracting people. ABC News, March 27, 2005, and it says here, mega churches offer prayer, play, and shopping. And it went on to say, Americans are known for their love of supersizing, from French fries to cars to houses. And on this Easter Sunday, many Americans are celebrating on a much larger scale in huge congregations known as mega churches, where people can do much more than just worship. Much more than worship. It goes on to say, these mega churches are places where members can not only pray, but also work out in a gym, eat at a food court, or browse in a bookstore, and they are becoming more popular across the country. And one person said, there is just a lot of fun up there. There you go, to the flesh. So much fun, worldly, entertaining church that is catering to the flesh, not to the soul, but to the flesh. Where is the conviction of sin here? so much fun up there. There was an article in Forbes magazine, and the title was Mega Churches, Mega Business. And it said here, maybe churches aren't so different from corporations, because it's the same. They're making money, the buck. And it went on to say, welcome to the mega business of mega churches, where pastors often act as chief executives, and use business tactics to grow their congregations. This entrepreneurial approach has contributed to the explosive growth of mega churches. What are they doing? They are using business tactics to attract people. This is humanism. Where is prayer and fasting? When you take out the word of God, the only thing what is left is your own way of attracting people. Where is prayer and fasting? Where is the will of God? As Jesus came, Jesus said, I did not come to do my will, but to do your will. Our will is always opposed to the will of God. Matthew 21 verse 13, Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. Big buildings, big money, big churches, it's always the root is what? Covetousness, making more and more money. It's a money making business. That's what it is. And again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 verse 8, Jesus didn't say. The book of Matthew 4:8 says, the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things I'll give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The devil said, showed all the glorious kingdoms of this world. You want them? I'll give it to you. Just worship me. Worshipping the devil, let me tell you something. Worshipping the devil is not having an ugly face look like a devil with a pitchfork and bowing down and worshipping. No. That's not what it is. Worshipping the devil is rejecting Jesus and neglecting Jesus. And if you neglect Jesus, not getting into the Word of God, not having a relationship with Him, not worshiping Him, not reading His Word and praying, and if you don't do these things, you are neglecting Jesus. When you neglect Jesus, the only spiritual being is the devil. And that's what you are following. And devil will say, I'll give you prosperity. I'll give you wealth. I'll give you anything what you want. I'll give you the comforts. Just don't get into the Word of God. Don't follow the Bible. Don't have a relationship with Jesus. I will give you work to do. And you will say, oh, the money, business, comforts. How people are trapped and how many people are going to hell because they have been deceived. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. John chapter 18 verse 36, my kingdom is not out of this, not of this world. And also Jesus said, Matthew 8:20, the foxes have holes and the birds have birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not to lay his head. And here these pastors, these ministers, these evangelists, they are living in luxurious houses and mega churches where it is so looking to the eye, it looks so glorious and wonderful. But our Lord said, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. There's something wrong. See, it's not biblical. My Bible doesn't go along what they are practicing. I want to see fruits. That's what I want to see. I don't want words, I want to see fruits. I want to see what they're doing, how they live, and this Bible doesn't go along with it. Well, they talk about Jesus, and oh, poor you, you say, but they talk about Jesus, they use scriptures, and they use Holy Spirit, so they are Christians. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says, in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Word of God, Apostle Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting from verse 3. But I fear lest, verse 2. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul is saying, just like the devil deceived Eve, and I'm concerned that because through the craftiness of the serpent, your minds may be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Then verse 4 says, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. So there is another Jesus. That's a worldly Jesus. That's a Jesus of idolatry. That's not the biblical Jesus. There is another Holy Spirit. As the worldly spirit, and there is another gospel, and that's the candy-coated gospel. And Apostle Paul saying, if somebody preaches another Jesus, not the biblical Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel, you might as well put up with it. Why? Because your flesh loves that kind of things. Because it attracts the flesh. It's pleasing to the flesh. The wealthy evangelists, ministers, and pastors, they live in multi-million dollar homes. They have luxury cars. Some of them have even private owned jets. But Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to raise his head. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Their fruits in what they say in their doctrine, you will know them. That's why it's so important, the doctrine, and how they live, you will know them. And their behavior. Today, we live in a society that is, dominated by entertainment. I'm not talking only the church. This whole society is dominated by entertainment, and it is in the church. Entertainment, that's what people want. Entertainment, why entertainment? Because entertainment draws people. Why? Why is it that entertainment draws people? Because it gives pleasure and amusement to the flesh. It gives pleasure to the flesh. It tickles the ears, make you laugh. The media of entertainment has influenced majority of the churches today. Remove the old organ. Remove the old organ from the church and replace it with multimedia sound. Remove the old hymn books, which is packed with doctrine, and replace it with praise music of feelings and emotions. Instead of doctrine, focus on emotions and feelings. Make the beat of the music sound like the worldly music. Let the minister of and the pastor use humor and jokes in his sermons, which will make the audience laugh, and they will be attracted. Allow the church to be like the world, so the world will be attracted to the church. Do not talk about doctrine, theology, or holiness, or sin, because if you do talk about sin, people will leave the church. And if people leave the church, where's the money coming in? Because everything today, most of these big churches, their goal, motivation is on money. They will leave the church. Give us, and people also say, give us what we like. Many people from the world, they attend these churches and they say, some say, well, I went to that church and the pastor really cracked me up. And I'll go there every Sunday. The sinful nature of man desires the things that pleases the flesh more than the soul. During the time of Isaiah, the culture was different than today. But the heart of sin was the same. And the following scripture that I'm going to show you was a rebuke to the old generation at the time of Isaiah, but also it applies to us in this new generation. Although the culture was different, the sin in man's heart is the same. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9. In the book of Isaiah 30, starting from verse 9. I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9. And it says here, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, children who are unwilling to hear the instructions of the Lord. Exactly that is happening in the world, in the worldly churches today. They don't want to hear the true sound doctrine, the word of God. Then verse 10 says, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Don't tell us the truth, because we don't like it. That's what they are saying. Speak to us what? Smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Speak to us that things that our flesh likes to hear. Don't tell us about sin or holiness of God or the judgment of God, but tell us the smooth things, the things that we like to hear. Then he goes on to say, verse 11, leave the way, turn aside from the path, let us hear no about the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to hear the true God in the Bible, but God is all loving. God winks at sins. And God is a nice God. He's a compassionate God. That's what they want to hear. Not the God of the Bible. Not the God of justice. Not the God of holiness. Not the God who will not tolerate in sin. He will not wink at sin. He will not compromise with sin. They don't want to hear the God of the Bible. Today, people desire a popular Jesus. Jesus who is appealing to the masses. Jesus who understands the feelings. Jesus whom our flesh likes. Jesus who understands my weaknesses. Jesus who will love me even if I'm in sin. They will not want a Jesus who will rebuke sin. They don't want to see Jesus who is going to judge the living and the dead. The church has departed from sound doctrine, and they see a Jesus who they like to listen. They have made Jesus according to their own opinion, and that is idolatry. That is idolatry. If you depart from the biblical Jesus and have another Jesus whom you love, that is idolatry. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness but denying the power of thereof, from such turn away. They have a form of godliness but denying the power. C.H. Spurgeon in his time said the following, an evil is in the professed camp of the Lord so gross in its impudence that the most short-sighted can hardly fail to notice it. During the past few years, it has developed at an abnormal rate. Even for evil, it has worked like leaven until the whole lump ferments. The devil has seldom done a cleverer thing than hinting to the church that part of their mission is to provide entertainment for the people with view to winning them. Let me tell you something. Hollywood can never compete with the Word of God. The entertainment and amusement can never bring true conversion. Never. It will bring an emotional enlightenment, but not true conversion. It is the only, the Word of God has the power unto salvation that people will be saved. It is only the Word of God. Same word that God spoke, let there be light. Same word that God is going to speak to the sinner, is the Word of God that brings sinners from darkness to the light of Christ. And it is not entertainment. Was Jesus appealing to the masses? That's my question. Was he appealing to the masses? Jesus was very appealing to the crowds at his time because it really, many people went after Jesus. Why? Because their motives were not right. They went after Jesus for their flesh, for their fleshly passions. And I'm going to show you some scriptures. If you turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 1. John chapter 6, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And verse 2 says, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Now, why are these multitudes following Jesus? Because they saw the miracles. Now, in John chapter 6, we see how Jesus feeding a great multitude of people, about 5,000 with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What did the people say when they saw this miracle when Jesus fed them, fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, when he made this multiplying miracle in front of the people? What did they say? Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is what they said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. That means when they saw this miracle, amazing miracle, they believed in Jesus. See that? They believed in Jesus. There are many people today who believe in Jesus in the same way. They see miracles of bare hand blowing and people falling to the ground, and they believe in Jesus. They believe in miracles. Somebody get healed on a prayer, they believe in Jesus. The Jesus who can help in their immediate needs, they believe. If somebody says, if you want Jesus, he's going to heal your marriage, he's going to give you a job, he's going to give you a house, a car, or whatever like that, come to Jesus in front and say this prayer. And that person comes. And how will that person get a good job? I believe in Jesus now. How will that person prosper? I believe in Jesus now. So people believe in Jesus, most of them, because of their immediate needs. And they come to Jesus because of their immediate needs. The people of that day, they also came to Jesus because of their immediate needs, because they were hungry. They wanted to fill their stomachs. They want to get fed again. They believed Jesus not because of the miracle they saw, but because of their immediate needs, because Jesus fed them. Were they truly saved? Are these people truly saved? All these 5,000 people, and some of them who even believed that he was a prophet, are they saved? Are these people who come into Jesus in their immediate needs, and are some of them truly saved? Let us see the scriptures. In John chapter 6, verse 24, when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, now after the miracle, now they are looking for Jesus, but he is not there. Now his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now these people are seeking Jesus. They are looking for Jesus. Today, there are a lot of people are seeking Jesus. They are seeking Jesus for their immediate needs to be fulfilled. That's what it is. They are seeking Jesus for their only fleshly reasons. That's why today there are so many motivational speakers who talk. They think that they are Christians, and they say, well, if you want Jesus, you know, and they talk about Jesus, but you got to give money, you got to do this, you have all these programs. As for their own reasons. How many people are seeking Jesus for the wrong motives today? Many are seeking Jesus for their flesh, for their carnal passions. On the other hand, the Bible says in Romans 3:11, what does it say? There's none that understand, there's none that seeketh after God. There's no one who seeks God. But then why these people are seeking Jesus? They are seeking Jesus because they are hungry again. It's fleshly, it's for the stomach. Their motives are not right. They want another miracle from Jesus. They saw one. And they know that Jesus can do other miracles. So they believe Jesus because Jesus made a miracle. That's what they that's why they believe. What happened when they found Jesus eventually now? All these people are going after Jesus. They are seeking Jesus. What happened when they found Jesus? John chapter 6, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, this is what they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? It sounds like very friendly, huh? When did you come? We love you. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Jesus can see the motives and the heart of the person. He hit the nail on the head and say, I know why you're seeking me. You're seeking me because you ate the loaves of bread. You're seeking me for fleshly reasons. But the crowd still trapped Jesus for more food, as they said the following in verse 30. Look, verse 30. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus. I know you can get... Our fathers ate manna. From heaven God gave bread. Talking all about what? Not spiritual things. They're talking physical things. They're talking to their own motives, to the flesh. We want more food. That's exactly what they are saying. And they even said, quote a scripture. But Jesus, knowing their motives, hit the nail on the head again by saying, what did he say? I am the bread of life. At this, Jesus points out, just because they are seeking him, they are not saved. Just because the people are coming and seeking him, They are not saved. Salvation is not of man, but of God. When Jesus said in the same chapter, John chapter 6, verse 65, he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Nobody can come to him unless it is given or granted by the Father. So what happened to the vast crowd who believed in Jesus before? Read John chapter 6, verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. People are coming to Jesus today for fleshly reasons, not that their souls will be profited by the word of God. Let us see another incident. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now, we had to understand this was before the Passover. People come to Jerusalem for the Passover to remember the deliverance of God from the bondage of the Egyptians during the time of Moses. Here again, we see a large crowd coming because the news spread like wildfire. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. So let's go and get him. Again, we need to understand that Jesus did a great miracle previously. And they knew there was a miracle done by Jesus previously. What was the miracle? Raising the dead man Lazarus. That was the miracle. See John chapter 12 verse 9. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Again, we see why people are seeking Jesus, because he can do miracles. Because of this miracle, many people believed in Jesus. He became popular among the masses, and he appealed to the masses. In John chapter 6, verse 11, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. That means they believed in Jesus, going away from their religion, believed in Jesus. Verse 12 says, next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Verse 13, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Wow! And if somebody says that today, "Hosanna," putting the palm branches on the ground, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord and the King of Israel," and somebody, oh, look at all those Christians. They love the Lord. They are excited for the Lord. But remember, Jesus is not coming. He did not come on a white horse here. He came on a donkey. Humility and suffering Messiah. And they thought, and this Jesus is going to answer our immediate needs. What was their immediate need? What was their immediate need? To deliver from Rome. That was their immediate need. Immediate need was that they would be delivered from Rome, and Rome would be crushed, as Jesus is going to be the king who is going to come as a military leader and crush Rome. That was their immediate need. They were looking at the wrong motives again. But there were also some Greeks who were at this event, and they wanted to have a personal audience with Jesus. Alright? So there were some Greeks who came, and they were also at the Passover, and they wanted to have a personal audience with Jesus. Read verse 20, John 12, 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. Verse 21. So these Greeks came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. So Philip went and told Andrew. And Andrew and Philip thought, okay, let us both go and tell the Master. So Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. What was the answer of Jesus to these people who wanted to see him? What was his answer? Did Jesus say, all right, you came to see me, believe in me, and you will be saved? He didn't say that. Verse 23, and Jesus answered them and said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Look at this verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life will lose it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What Jesus is saying here is exactly what he said in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, starting from verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 29, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it for a man to gain, if he gains the whole world and is himself be destroyed? That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. You want to seek me? You want to follow me? Then pick up the cross and follow me. That is obedience. That is obedience. That is submission. Whoever decides to save his life is going to lose it. That means people are looking today for entertainment, comforts. That's what people are looking. And if you're looking for comforts in this world, you're going to lose it. If you're looking for comforts in this world, you will lose it and you will end up in hell. And you will... Your soul, what profit? People are looking to get better and bigger and bigger. They are not satisfied in what they have. They want more and more and more and more. Profiting the flesh, not the soul. Desiring the things of the flesh, not the things of the soul. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, if a corn, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. What Jesus is saying is that we should die with him. There was a hymn writer in Germany in 1645 to 1732, and this is what he said. What is the world to me with all its wanted pleasure? When thou and thou alone, Lord Jesus, art my treasure. Thou only, dearest Lord, my soul's delight shall be. Thou art my peace, my rest. What is the world to me? John 15 verse 19, Jesus said, if you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Believing and following Jesus is to die to your flesh. You need to die first. Just like Jesus died, if we believe in him, we must die with him. We need to crucify the worldly desires. We need to crucify the comforts, the worldly comforts, the worldly passions. We need to crucify daily. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, Apostle Paul said, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer be enslaved to sin. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in John chapter 12. That a grain of wheat falls to this earth, it should die first. Isn't that what Jesus, what happened to Jesus? He died. What happened after the resurrection? Bore much fruits. We need to die with him. Galatians 2:20, Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. What do you mean, yet not I? Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I. I live, that is the new man is living, not the old man anymore. But Christ lived in me. It is Christ who lives in me in the new life. And the new life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 6:8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That is the grain that fell. And when he came up, it bore much fruit. So if we live in Christ, if we die in Christ, we are going to live with him. If we are going to reign with him, what does the Bible say? If we are going to reign with him, we need to suffer with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, right? If we suffer, we also will reign with him. A lot of people want the crown. But they don't want to carry they want a crown. They want all the comforts. But they don't want to wear the crown of thorns. So if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. The Bible talks more and more and more on suffering of the Christian. Suffering of the Christian is crucifying your worldly passions. That is not easy. I'll tell you, I have a lot of gods before. I had a lot of idolatry before. But I had to crucify them daily. Little by little. And it is very painful. We've got to kill them. Mortify them. As John Owen said, you need to mortify them. Matthew 7:13 says, enter you in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few will find it. Very clear. So broad is the way that many are going to go, because it's very pleasing to the flesh. But narrow is the gate where very few will find it. Because agonize, the Bible says, what? Agonize to enter through the narrow gate. That means it's going to pain your flesh. Your flesh is going to be very painful. But it's going to be profitable. No one likes to suffer for Jesus. These same people who believed and followed Jesus for the same motives, when they saw, They did not get what they wanted. When people saw, I did not get what I wanted, what happened at the end? They shouted with one voice, all these people who followed Jesus, these vast crowds who followed Jesus. Later on, they left him and they shouted with one voice saying, crucify him, crucify him. It was a crowd. Crucify him, crucify him. Many believe in Jesus, many are following him for the wrong motives. Many desire after the comforts of the world and the pleasures of this life. They love this world, but they are going to end up in hell. And that is very sad to say. Many people, they cannot get away. They love this world so much. They are passionate about this world. I mean, how many are you really disciplining yourself? Are you crucifying the things that you love daily? Are you? Are you just coming and hearing the sermons? How many people would be in hell just heard a lot of sermons, but were not submission to the Word of God? And Jesus said later on, you know, how many professing Christians end up in hell? Jesus will answer, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work, people who work in iniquity. Matthew 7:23. There is no worldliness in the true church. In the true church of God, there's purity and holiness and sound doctrine. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be what? Holy and without blemish. 1 Peter 2:25 says, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, different than the world, peculiar, that they should forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We cannot add the modern culture to change the Word of God. We cannot add the modern culture to change the Word of God. The Word of why? Because the Word of God remains the same. We cannot add human wisdom to the Word of God. We cannot add candy coatings to the Word of God. We cannot dance around the Word of God. We cannot twist the Word of God. We cannot have our own opinions and play gymnastics with the Word of God. The old Word of God and its message is still the same. C.H. Spurgeon said, I cannot agree with those who say they have a new truth to teach. The world seems to be contradict with each other, that which is new is not true. It is the old that is true. For the truth is as old as God himself. William Cowper, in 1731 to 1800, the hymn writer, and this is what he said, oh, how I love thy holy word, thy gracious covenant of O Lord. It guides me in the peaceful way. I think upon it all day. Then he went on to say, what are the mines of shining wealth? The strength of youth, the bloom of health. What are all joys compared with those thine everlasting word? Wow. These hymns are packed with doctrine. It's not the beautiful sounds of music with multimedia. No. There is going to come a day of judgment. A great white throne of God. The day of judgment is going to come. Every single person will be in front of the judge. No matter who you are, that means every single person on this earth, you are going to be judged. You cannot escape God. It means the popes, the priests, the ministers, the pastors, the evangelists, and the masses of people. People who came to churches. People who listened to the sermons. People who listened to the sermons but did not obey the sermon, obey the word of God. Obey the word of God. They did not submit to Jesus. People who said, I am a Christian, but lived an unchristian lifestyle. Lived contradictory to what the Word of God says. People who never was in love with this Word of God. They were never in love with the true Jesus. And they will be condemned to the eternal fire. Because they trusted in themselves. They did not believe in God, really. If you truly believe in God, let me ask you something. If you truly believe in God, you will do what God says. And you are not, many are not doing what God is saying. They are not obedient to the word of God because they are not really believing God. They say, I believe in God, I know all the doctrines, but they don't want to do. Why? Truly, they are not believing in God. If you truly believe in his word, you will do what he says. They trusted in themselves, in their own religion. They trusted in a popular religion. They trusted in a popular Jesus. They trusted in something that everybody wanted to hear. They trusted in popularity, what people like to hear. Let me close with Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. And here we see John the Baptist in the wilderness. He's crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Huh? Then in verse 7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warn you to flee from the wrath to come, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. There you go. Brood of vipers, to these religious leaders, they were the popular religious leaders of that day. But they were saying one thing and living another. They were professing God-believing people, but they were not true Christians. And those people, how did John address to them? Brood of vipers. And if you are not bearing fruits of repentance, and he went on to say, verse 10, and they, verse 8 says, verse 9 says, and do not think to say yourself, we have Abraham our father, and say to that God is able to raise up the children of Abraham from these stones. They say, oh, Abraham is our father. Many people say, I'm a Christian because I go to such and such a church. I have a Bible in the house. I am born into a Christian family. No. Jesus said, and verse 10 says, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus said, John chapter 12, unless, what? If a grain that falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. And you need to first, we need to die for Jesus Christ. We need to die. This flesh has to be crucified. Once this flesh is crucified, once the passions are crucified, what's going to happen? Oh, the Spirit of God can work in you in a mighty way. That's what is all left there. It's the Holy Spirit that is in there can work in a mighty way, because this is like cleaning up a room, cleaning up all the dust and the dirt and in your closet, all the other things. When that is done, wow, you can move around freely. The Holy Spirit can do a much greater work for the glory of God. Let's pray.